5 p.m. on Friday. The happiest of happy hours. Time for American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3 FM. So glad to be here on a Friday after a long work week. I'm Tom Ryan. With me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan.
That's right. You almost forgot who I was, huh?
Barely remember who I am after this week. See if I can keep my mind on what I'm supposed to be doing today. That would be the trick. What we have been doing for the past few months now is focusing on Stax Records in our series, which we call How Music Changed.
And you remembered the CD this week, right?
Yes. Oh, boy.
Oopsie.
If you're a regular listener, you might notice that we had to go to a tape last week. I was here. I made it. But the music didn't. I forgot to bring it with me. Amazing, but true. I guess things like that happen when
you
do.
Oh, well, yes, exactly.
You know, over the course of many, many years, that might happen occasionally. But boy, did I feel dumb.
Sometimers.
So now we'll do last week's show today, live. Fine. It's the way it works. Like I said, we've been looking at Stax Records for 19 shows now. This is part 19 in our shows dedicated to the music of Stax. Although when we started this, the Stax Records that we were talking about was significantly different than the Stax Records we are talking about now. In the beginning, that label, Stax, had a sound that was quite distinct, something that really could not be replicated very easily by anywhere else, which is exactly why Atlantic Records got involved with them in the first place, why Atlantic was bringing artists to the label, because they wanted to get the sound, that Memphis sound, that was really coming only from Stax.
It was unique.
But at this point in time, we're picking up in May of 1971. The seven singles that they released just before summer of 1971, of the seven, none of them were from Memphis artists, not a single one, and only one of them was even recorded in the Stax studio.
Oh, my.
So they were all over the place. They're in California, they're in Texas, a lot in Detroit. There were some that were taking place in Louisiana. But it was now no longer a matter of trying to retain the Stax sound. It was a matter of just trying to do anything you could to have a hit. And I guess there's something to be said for that. The only thing that's a shame is that you lose the continuity that the label had for so long. But let's pick it up with the band that is beginning to find their commercial legs, so to speak. They're beginning to get closer and closer to something that feels like they're really beginning to be able to turn it. This isn't the song that did it. It only went to number 97 on the pop charts, but it gets them in the right direction. Who would have guessed that Pop Staples was a big Temptations fan, most notably Eddie Kendricks? But it was Pops who heard this song by the Temptations and suggested that his own band record it. So here are the Staples Singers performing You've Got to Earn It.
Thank you.
Staple Singers singing a Temptations cut there.
Very cool.
Was a hit for the Temptations, unfortunately not for the Staple Singers. You've got to earn it. We saw Mavis on TV this week, didn't we?
Yeah, we saw a glimpse of her.
The Stephen Colbert Show.
She was there at one
of the closing numbers doing some singing. I don't think you've seen this next band anywhere at all. They had an interesting production company called Enigmatic Productions, appropriately named because I don't think anybody these days remembers a band called The Limitations, made up of two sets of brothers. And they recorded this song actually in Pennsylvania, their own hometown. And I guess it was leased somehow to Stax. It remains unknown, but I liked the tune. So as good a reason as any to play it. Coming out in May of 1971, here are The Limitations singing Hold On To It.
Then love is a hurting thing when that someone you love is gone. So if you got it, you better hold on to it. Don't you be no fool. I'm trying to tell you that love is so hard to find. Oh yeah. You think
then The Limitations, appropriately named there as well in terms of chart success. Stunningly limited, but a cool song called Hold On To It. And then, I mean, just like throughout the history of the label, I mean, there was always way more material released that could actually than what could actually be considered hits or what could chart. But that's the idea. You know, you always pretty much, you don't know until it's done. until it's out there to see what's going to happen. In fact, this next act released a song that we played a few weeks back, a song called Your Love Was Strange. And it did virtually nothing on the charts. And to the point, it was so unimpressive that their producer, Don Davis, let them go, released them from their contract. So they were pretty much out of Memphis entirely. And they ended up sort of going back to Detroit, where they were picked up by a songwriter named Tony Hester. I believe he had done some work for Motown as well. But Tony started to do some work with them. And he thought that he had something. So he went back to Don Davis to show him what he had. And Davis was so impressed that he re-signed the band after dismissing them and said, okay, we'll put this out and see what happens. The result was one of the biggest hits the label had in quite a while, a number three hit for the Dramatics. You probably remember this one called What You See Is What You Get.
1971. And you know some people are made of wood. Some people have hearts of stone. Some people are up to no good. Ah, but baby, I'm for real. I'm as real as a real can get. If what you're looking for is real loving, then what you see is what you get. Ha!
What you see
is what you get.
Is what you get.
What you see is what you get.
Is what you get.
For a song to get even cooler with age.
That one might just meet that litmus test.
Really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds so good to hear that these days.
Yeah.
Song from all these songs are dating from 1971, everything we're playing today.
Yeah, we were jamming out.
Some of them you might feel that they've aged, but I don't know, that one.
That one's a keeper.
Unfortunately, the band members aren't quite as lucky.
No.
So, Ron, our engineer, was just telling me that he was looking it up, and they're all gone except for one guy. Just very sad for them. It's the dramatics, though, with what you see is what you get. Next artist was on her way off of the label as well. After nothing particularly huge happening for her at Stax Records, she eventually ended up going to Atlantic. Some people might remember her because when she was at Atlantic, her name is Margie Joseph. She had a hit covering Paul McCartney's song My Love in 1974, an R&B hit that worked for her on that label. But this was her last release on Stax, a tune called That Other Woman Got My Man and Gone.
Tried to tell me how much he loved me, but each time I said he was lying. Though he worked real hard to show me that he cared, but I said he wasn't trying. Keeping by my side.
Playing these songs that weren't hits but sound like they should have been or could have been, you know? Because playing through the box set and trying to figure out which tracks I'm going to be playing, you hit on something like that and you're like, ooh, that's a really sweet tune.
It makes you realize how fickle the music industry can be too, though.
I mean, oh, yeah.
You can imagine you're trying to decide what's going to be a hit when you're in the offices of a recording studio. Yes, that one's going to be a hit.
Of course.
I feel it in my bones.
Right. And then it goes out and it hits the basically that sea of releases that comes out every single week.
Right.
And you're one song out of, these days, one song out of hundreds of thousands each week. It's incredible. There's just plain too much music being made. That's just a sorry but true fact. And it's true more so today than ever. That was Margie Joseph, though. Now away from Stax after that track, singing "That Other Woman Got My Man and Gone." Oops, that one got away from us for a second. meanwhile, we have one artist, one of the regulars at the label, somebody who's actually still recording the old-fashioned way, actually, which is to say, still using some of the old staff. He used the Bar K's as his band. Steve Cropper is involved with this. Eddie Floyd is the artist, basically trying to revive some of the hits that he had from back in the day when the label was at its peak, coming out with this tune, a pretty good one too, Eddie Floyd singing "Blood Is Thicker Than Water." That then, Eddie Floyd, still recording good ones and making a little bit of a dent on the R&B charts, but nothing on the soul charts. That was the same story, by the way, with Johnny Taylor. Johnny Taylor, ever since he released that big hit of his in 1968, Who's Making Love?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that pretty much put him like right in the forefront on pop charts and on the R&B charts. But after that, he remained huge on the R&B charts, but had trouble getting back on the pop charts. But, I mean, Stax was more than happy with what he was releasing because it seemed like everything he put out would become a hit. Definitely was hitting the R&B charts, song after song after song after song. They finally gave him a new title around this point in time. This is where they started calling him the Soul Philosopher.
Interesting. Moniker.
And this song has got a little bit of everything on it. Everything but Memphis, really. I mean, it's first of all, it's written by Tony Hester, the same guy who wrote What You See Is What You Get.
Right.
So they got the Detroit aspect of it there. Roger Hawkins is playing the drums on this track, and the drums are really prominently featured in the mix. You might notice that. Okay, that's from, I don't think Hawkins is a Memphis drummer. It's from another town. What's Muscle Shoals, I believe.
Okay.
Where he might be from. And of course, Johnny Taylor did most of his recording in Texas. So this is a little bit of everything from all over the map.
Mix.
But the track worked very well for him. This is, excuse me, Johnny Taylor singing Hijackin' Love.
I gotta tell you something. Hey girl, let me tell you something. I swear every word is true. When your money stay out all night long, there must be something wrong with you. Look at him. The other woman's doing your job. She give him his papas every day. She give him good loving in the morning, in the evening, in the midnight hour. When he need it, that's why he never turns away. Now let me ask you something, girl. Steal a jet plane.
WHPC 90.3, the radio voice of Nassau Community College, is looking for individuals, businesses, charities, or organizations in our local and global community that would like to donate to support our radio station. Whether you listen locally or online, here is how it works. Go to our webpage at ncc.edu/WHPC and click Donate Now. Or if you prefer, you can send a check to WHPC Radio, 1 Education Drive, Garden City, New York, 11530. Make check payable to the NCC Foundation. In the memo of your check, write WHPC Donate Now. Any contributions will help defray our operating costs, and it's tax deductible. This message was brought to you by the radio voice of Nassau Community College. Streaming online at ncc.edu/WHPC.
All right, then. I don't know if my power of persuasion is any more effective than our announcer there. Trying to see if we can get some support for our poor, lowly radio station here. But if it is, if you see it within your heart to contribute, it would be an awfully nice thing to do, to see if we could do what we can to try to basically keep ourselves on the air. It's not an easy thing to do, to run a radio station without any fundraising at all. And we're trying to see if we could maybe turn that around without trying to make a point of doing this all the time. So if there's any if you see it in your heart, where you might be able to basically send a couple of shekels our way, we'd appreciate it very much. Keep that in mind. We'd appreciate it. Something that we could use here at WHPC 90.3 FM. All right, this show, of course, is American Hit Radio. Heidi and I are here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 until 6 p.m. Doing what we do now. Friday is How Music Changed. Basically, to sum it up, we have chosen 250 topics or artists, depending on how you want to look at it, that we feel best convey the history of popular music from its very inception in recorded music till today. And we are bouncing back and forth between older ones and newer topics. This is one of the more recent topics, looking at Stax Records. And this is part 19 of that series. If you're interested in hearing the entire thing, or if there's other shows that you missed in this series, or if you want to maybe hear some of our other series, and there are many that we have done, multiple shows on the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Marvin Gaye, the Rolling Stones. We've gone back and done entire things on New Orleans jazz, the birth of New Orleans jazz, the birth of the blues, things like that. There's an awful lot of history there. And all you got to do is go to our website, find the show that you're interested in, excuse me, and play it. So they're all play on demand. I'm sorry, what?
You got all emotional.
Yeah, no, I just got a frog in my throat. But that's AmericanHitNetwork.com. Go there. You'll see our Wednesday show on the left side of the page. Friday show is on the right side of the page. And help yourself. Play whatever you'd like. There's years and years and years of shows, hundreds of them there.
A multitude.
For you to catch up. So there you have it. Meanwhile, we've got a current one to finish. So let's get back to where we were at. We had just heard before the break, we heard Johnny Taylor, who's now being referred to as the soul philosopher, singing Hijackin' Love.
I love that.
And we have another old-timer now, one of the only people at Stax to make records the way that he was making them back in the very beginning. Really one of their very first artists, Rufus Thomas. The man that, when after things were done with Atlantic Records, they pretty much gave up on Rufus Thomas. They didn't use him for a lot of their promotions. When they had that big album push, when they were putting out like 17 or 18 albums all at the exact same time, they didn't even bother to let Rufus finish his record. He was really more or less shunned.
Got no respect.
For quite a while. And then the oddest thing started to happen, and he was the man that was having more consistently having hits than almost anybody else at the label, except perhaps for Isaac Hayes. Maybe even as much as Isaac Hayes, because Rufus, it seems like every time he put out a single, it was going to the top. He wasn't only having hits on the R&B charts, he was also hitting the pop charts.
He was crossing over.
And he was doing it with goofy songs. I mean, his whole career was basically goofy songs. Dance crazes. He'd make up something to, you know, that would become a dance craze of some sort. Even in 1971, when it didn't seem like dance crazes were cool anymore, somehow Rufus Thomas was still having hits.
He was still hitting with that.
It's amazing. It's a weird formula. This track went to number 31 on the pop charts and number 2 on the R&B charts. What dance craze was it? It was called The Breakdown. Break on down. Thomas.
Whoa. Breaking it down for you.
Really an old man at this point by star standards. You know, the father of Carla Thomas.
Luckily it was pre-video age, though.
Right. And, he was really old when they started. And here he is just staying on top.
The kids just dig it.
You know what it is? You know, he basically stayed funky.
Yep.
And funky became cool.
That's
you
right.
know, it just worked for him. It was ideal. Now, here's Rufus Thomas, you know, like we were talking about, like the implausibility of figuring out what song could be a hit and what song couldn't be
right.
a hit.
Yes.
Today's show, really, that could be the sub-theme of what we're talking about, because you've got these songs, like a song about a dance craze in 1971 seems crazy to me. You know, just there's really not that much that was happening around this point in time where you would think that something like Do the Locomotion or something would still be happening.
Really?
You know, but it was working for him. Now, this next song, I would swear, would have been a hit. It absolutely vanished without a trace. So bad. I mean, I'll tell you, the song is called Where Would You Be Today? And the artist is named Ilana. Well, where are you today, Ilana? This box set came out with this track, and right in the liner notes, they pretty much are putting out a call to her. Like, does anybody know who she is or where she is? Because there's no information at all. Nobody remembers her.
That's crazy.
The only thing they know is that the song itself was written by Van McCoy, the same guy who gave us The Hustle in about 3 or 4 years from this point forward. He became hugely famous for that with a big number one hit. One of the most, this one of the signifiers of disco.
Right.
But he had written this song, and Ilana recorded it. He produced it. He wrote the song with Joe Cobb. And just about everything about this record impresses me. It's just a fantastic arrangement, sung really well, awesome background vocals, everything about it. And it didn't chart anywhere at all at any time. It just didn't sell, period.
A dud.
So like you said, the vicissitudes of the music industry, you can't call it. But, you know, sorry, Ilana. I doubt that this is going to do much good. But if you are out there, they're looking for you. Over at Stax Records, or at Fantasy Records now, because that's who owns Stax, has the rights to all their stuff. Anyway, here's Ilana with Where Would You Be Today?
Some trash out there on the street.
There's a sleeper.
I'll say.
Probably the first time that's been played on the radio.
At least in a long, long time.
Yeah, well, the thing, that's just it. I mean, it seems as though it got virtually nowhere play at all in its time because it never charted anywhere in any way.
No.
So it's kind of sad. It's a cool song. Where Would You Be Today by Ilana. Even the next artist had struggles for pretty much their entire career. They were called the Soul Children. We played a couple of things by them up to this point in time. They're the artists that were put together, that were brought to the label, hoping to serve as a replacement for losing Sam and Dave. When Atlantic left and took Sam and Dave with them, everybody suffered for that. There were no winners.
Right. Especially Sam and Dave.
Right. Sam and Dave basically were torn away from their songwriting team of Porter Hayes, Dave Porter and Isaac Hayes. And without their songwriting team, they had no more hits. So their career was essentially over at that point. Atlantic lost because they had an artist that they were spending money on and trying to basically replicate their earlier career, and they had nothing. And, of course, Stax lost something which was a sure thing. So in order to fill in the gap, they had put together this group called the Soul Children, which was actually, it was originally going to be just two guys, which was going to be too much like Sam and Dave in their mind. They figured what we should do, let's double down. Let's have two guys and two girls, too much of a good thing. It's bound to work. and unfortunately, it never really did, and not in a commercial sense. They had, they recorded some pretty interesting material, but none of it really caught on at all in the way that Sam and Dave did. They certainly were not a voice of their generation, but they released some good tracks, including this one here. As I said, the group is called the Soul Children. This song is called Got to Get Away From It All.
Mama, you told me. You told me that this man didn't mean me no good. Mama, he beats me and he scolds me. Just like you said you would. Mama, he knocked me down.
Stay out all night long. Please don't.
speaking about David, the songwriting team of David Porter and Isaac Hayes, before we played that track, in regards to the work that they had done with Sam and Dave. And that, of course, that track there, The Soul Children, that was actually produced by David Porter. Produced it actually in Muscle Shoals. So that's very interesting that he was there. And since we brought him up, it's also interesting to mention that he also ended up, he was the songwriter for this next track, also for a group called The Emotions, a girl group that was on the label that had a couple of minor hits. I think we might have played one of them earlier, a 69 song called So I Can Love You. The lead singer, her name is Sheila Hutchinson. Isaac Hayes was a bit of a fan of her. He had a nickname for her. He called her Sandpaper. And Sheila Hutchinson tells a pretty funny memory about recording the song. These are her own words now. I enjoyed that song tremendously. They actually had to ask my father to leave the session so that I could complete the end part. On the part where I go up, Isaac was likening the way for me to sing that to me, having a climax. And I was a virgin, so I was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? And my father was giving me the eye, and I'm like, oh. So to take the pressure off, they asked Joe to step outside, and it worked. That's all it took. One take later, I said to Isaac, now you're just too much. So then, here are The Emotions singing Show Me How.
I'm just a young girl, dying to learn the ways of love, just to please you. You're the only someone I love. Come on and teach me. There are so many things that I just don't know, but I love you, love you, love you so. So the things I don't know, show me how. I don't wanna
Emotions with Show Me How. Well, we pretty much did it again. These hours, I don't know, when we're on the radio, the hours seem to take...
They go by so quickly.
Yeah, it seems like 20 minutes. I wonder if I had a 3-hour show, if it would feel like an hour. But boy, the time flies. Anyway, we will be back next Wednesday, of course. We are right now concentrating on our series, which we're calling the Alternative Top 40. Or maybe we'll change that name. I'm still debating it. We'll be looking at some album that did not chart on the Top 40. And, of course, next Friday we'll be back with Stax Part 20. Got time for one more here, though. Nobody would associate the band Earth, Wind, and Fire with Stax Records for fairly good reason. All of their hit albums were released on Columbia Records. And maybe for a while they had their own label called Arc. But all of their work was on Columbia. Yet, before they were famous, they managed to end up on Stax. Melvin Van Peebles, the filmmaker, had a movie that was coming out. Sweetback? It had a crazy name, Sweetback's Badass, something like that. And that was the name of the movie. And it was like one of these blaxploitation movies. They needed a theme song. So what they ended up doing was they got Earth, Wind, and Fire, who were not really signed yet, to record the theme song. But they didn't get credit for it. It ended up being credited to Melvin Van Peebles, the movie director. So this band that you're about to hear happens to be Earth, Wind, and Fire performing Sweetback's theme. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.